guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, this hour they're going to be those of Melody Cederstrom, who does support Radio Liberty. And we support her because we think she does a good job for the people who listen to our programs. And so we're going to be talking about what's really going on behind the scenes economically. And most people really don't understand what is happening because they're being lied to by the controlled media, the people who've taken us to the sorry state of affairs where we are today, where people throughout the world who traditionally invested in the United States are beginning to pull their money out of this country. An article in the last 2 days in the Wall Street Journal, the Japanese, the small investor, $100,000, $200,000, who had been invested in the United States are beginning to pull their money out of here and put it into India or other developing Asian countries. Why? Why? Because they may make 5% here in our on our bonds, or but the dollar has lost almost 10% in the last 3 months, and they're not going to continue putting their money into a currency that is falling in value. And they're concerned about what's happening throughout the world, not what's happening here in the United States. The same thing is happening with many of our major pension funds. An article, I believe it was just today in the Wall Street Journal, pointed out that many of the major pension funds are beginning to pull their money out of the American stock market and invest them in foreign countries. Now, here in California, where I live, CalPERS, the largest pension fund in the world with holdings of over $250 billion, traditionally has always had at least 40% of its money invested in the American stock market, and now they're talking about lowering that to 25%. And as the money begins to pour out of the stock market into other countries throughout the world, then of course the stock market is going to drop. And this is really what we have to look forward to: a falling dollar, increasing inflation, and certainly ever-increasing problems as the value of the American dollar, the savings, the pension funds of the average American citizen are eroded and destroyed. And it's all part of a grand plan. This isn't happening by accident, ladies and gentlemen. This is laid out in the Earth Charter, and if you haven't read it, you really need to, because they will tell you that the real function of the people who really rule the world, and is laid out in the Earth Charter, point 10A, equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations, and they're transferring your wealth to other people as they move to impoverish you. Melody Cederstrom, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. It's good to have you back, and it's good to be here this evening.
All right. And will you tell us what your thoughts are? I've been monopolizing the conversation.
No, that's okay. You do a wonderful job. You're absolutely right. They have devised this plan. It has been an agenda. And through the hyperinflation in which we face, and with the falling dollar, people's wealth is being taken from them. They're using it. They're harvesting it from the American people. And they have a plan. And only the strong will survive. And those that don't survive, they will not have a nice outcome. A report came out this week, and it's becoming more mainstream. There's more articles being released, and perhaps that is with the availability of the internet that I guess has made a lot of these news articles more available to a lot more people.
Hold that thought there, Melody. But if our listeners out there, if you have a question, be sure to give us a call. We'll be right back. Go right ahead, Melody.
The Trends Research Institute came out and said that a financial crisis will take the U.S. dollar into a free fall, as much as 90%, and gold soaring to $2,000. Now, we've been talking about gold reaching $2,000 plus for a long time, but here it is, another mainstream arena that is coming out and stating the same things that we've been saying for a long time. There's going to be tough economic times in which very few people have seen here in the United States. And I've been reading some articles with comparisons into where other countries have collapsed when they've had financial collapse, economic collapse. And a lot of these countries were far better off than what the United States will be, because they've been, their infrastructure was completely different. They were, a lot of the people were more independent. The transportation was highly, is a greater public transportation than what we have here. The way food is distributed, lots of people in these countries where they had economic collapses, you know, most of them grew their own food. They knew how to plant corn. They knew how to plant beans. Even if it was a garden that they had on their patio, they were able to do it. America is spoiled. We have our food distributed by trucks. We see gasoline prices rising. We have crude oil at close to $100. And we have all these financial problems that we face. So I believe the infrastructure of this country and the people will be hit far greater and more devastating, harder to come back than these countries that, you know, when we saw the collapse of the Soviet Union, and we see these, you know, other current countries, when we saw Mexico and their currency collapse and devalued, it will be much harder for us. And we have the derivative markets that no one has a clue to the degree of the value, or the lack of value, I should say. And so there's anything can come to us at any particular time that would destroy people's purchasing power, but even as it is being taken away through inflation. There's going to be massive corporate losses. We've seen these losses posted by Citigroup, General Motors, you know, and these losses will be fairly common. And again, we look at these losses, we also then see these foreign governments coming in and picking up the pieces. So I believe a lot of these corporations and a lot of America will be financed and will be owned by a lot of these foreign governments.
Hold that thought right there. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Melody is simply pointing out what should be obvious to everybody. We have inflation here, and they're lying to us about inflation. They tell us it's 2.1%. Well, maybe 4.1% if you include food and fuel. And ladies and gentlemen, food, a lot of our food's gone up 10-12%. A lot of it's gone up even higher than that. And certainly the price of fuel was $200 a barrel. It was $20 a barrel for oil during the first year of George Bush's tenure. It's almost $100 a barrel today. And that's just not the gas you put in your gasoline tank. That's what it takes to for the diesel. The diesel that is bringing the products to the markets. And, for instance, the UPS has announced they're going to have a 4.5% increase right now. And they've had a previous 4.5% increase. Well, the cost of delivery, the cost of shipping, the cost of getting the goods to market is skyrocketing. The cost of running the farms on diesel is going up. And they're lying to us about inflation. If they'll lie to us inflation, what else are they lying to us about? Well, they certainly can't come out and tell you that they're going to impoverish the American people. People would be up in arms. They'd be out in the streets demonstrating. We can't let that happen. No, everything's all right. My goodness. Listen to Ben Bannock-Burdicky. Listen to what the president says. Things are getting better all the time. Oh, why? And we're cutting back on the trade deficits. I think from about $800 billion to about $800 billion this year. And, of course, as far as the federal debt is concerned, they will give you one figure and they simply lie to you about that. The only way you're going to really know what the true federal debt is to go to the GAO. That's the GAO. David Walker. David Walker, get it on the internet, Google in David Walker GAO, and write and see what the Secretary General of the General Accounting Office tells us about the debt that we have that will never be paid off. Over $50 trillion, not billion, but $50 trillion. And down the line, of course, there's not going to be any money in Social Security. There's not going to be any money in Medicare. There's not going to be any money for the Medicare drug bill. Everything is a lie. But we can't tell the American people. They might get upset. And so we've got to talk about how great everything is, how great the economy is, how great things are over in Iraq, and how, I mean, we've had the great, great cutback in the loss of troops over there. They never mentioned we've lost more troops this year than any time before, but in recently months, why we've lost less troops than we did earlier this year. We've lost more men in Iraq than any year we've been there. But they can't tell the American people that. Everything's getting better and better, and trouble is, Melody, I think an awful lot of people are so gullible, they honestly believe what they're being told. What do you think?
I don't know if they're gullible. I don't know what it is, but I do believe they are beginning to feel the pinch, and I think a lot of them probably blame themselves, but I think there's so little hope in this country. People don't have any hope. They can't plan. You know, they're certainly hit by all these rising costs, as you just described. The standard of living is continuing to go lower and lower and lower. And to be honest with you, I don't know how these people do it. And, you know, even talking to family and friends, their opinions in the past year are slowly changing because they can't keep up. They can't keep up with these higher prices and food prices. And yes, they did change from steaks to hamburgers. You know, they don't eat out anymore, which is probably a good thing that they begin cooking at home, but you know, it is a change of a lifestyle that and they will do what they have to do to put up the pretense, because so the consumers out there really aren't any different than the government, because they will keep up the pretense to believe that there is nothing wrong. And so how long they can do it? I worked for the savings and loans when they went under. And up until they put the lock on the door, they were telling the depositors, don't worry. You know, everything's okay.
Well, you see,
you know, we're fine.
You see, the thing is, Melody, is the world is awash with cash.
Yes.
It's all been artificially created. It's simply fiat paper. And there are trillions of dollars out there that the various countries have created and work right along with them. And so a lot of the people in this country have a lot of money. But when all you have a lot of money in circulation, why then you have inflation. And the prices go up. And when you get the whole thing settled back and it all equalizes, why, of course, the prices are so high, you're no better off than you were before. For a time, you think you're being prosperous, because you have all this money, but then prices begin to rise, and prices are rising today. And certainly even in with Japan, they've actually increased the value of the yen 8% in relationship to the dollar over the last few months. So, I mean, Japanese products are going to be more expensive, certainly before long. Chinese products will be increasingly expensive. The average American is not going to understand what's happened until one day he wakes up and finds out that the $1,000 or $2,000 that he may be making a month is just not buying anywhere near as much as it was before, because inflation is rampant. And then, of course, the other problem we have is the fact that the value of the dollar in relationship to other currencies is falling. These are things that the average individual doesn't understand. And certainly they're not being told this by our government or by Ben Bernanke or by our financial leaders, because they realize the implications of what's happening, and a lot of them, I believe, are scared to death. What do you think?
Well, I believe they are scared to death, and they really don't know what to do with it. And I think what they'll do, the only thing that they can do, And that's inject money into the problem. They will try to buy their way out of the problem.
And that just makes it worse.
And it just makes it worse. And, I mean, I truly, none of the problems are being worked on. None of the problems are being addressed. They're totally ignored. So until someone has the will to address the problems, in which we certainly know that there isn't anyone in Washington that has that power to do anything, you know, I believe they'll just let it fall. Their main concern right now is to keep the stock market up, because that is a major indicator to the people out there that everything is fine. You can lie to them, you can distort the figures, you can do all this and do that, and they might have questions, but you know, ultimately when they look at that Dow number, even though it's, you know, meaningless to them, because most of them are probably in the NASDAQ anyway, but it's all correlated with one another. They see that up there, you know, like I always says, you know, we could have a nuclear blast somewhere, and the first thing they'll do is turn on CNBC to see where the Dow's at. So it's a big indicator, and it's it calms people. And as long as that Dow is up, they think everything is fine. So that's what they're struggling to do, is keep that market up there. And what I can't believe, Dr. Stan, is a lot of these people out here, they don't know what's going on. You know, God bless them, because they don't know what's going on. But what I don't understand are the people that do know what's going on. They're listening to this program right now. They listen to many programs. They understand what's going on, and yet they don't do anything about it. You know, and sometimes people can't do anything. They feel they don't have access. They feel they don't have anything that they can do to get to their funds and make the necessary changes, and to prepare themselves and to position themselves. And it's okay to be on the sidelines. It's okay to wait to see what happens, and to wait until the system purges, and so where we know where we're at. Those are the ones that I don't understand. You know, those are the ones that I don't understand why.
Well, my telephone number, if you're out there, you have a question or comment, maybe you disagree, maybe you think things are really good and this is just pure talk and there's nothing behind it. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. I've been following this along for well over 40 years, and I've never seen such frightening economic times, because there is no way out. If they've raised the interest rates and do what they really should do, they'll collapse the economy of this nation. If they lower the interest rates and continue doing what they're doing, they'll lose the value of the dollar. And I believe that's exactly what's intended. There's an article on the World Affairs Brief today. That's World Affairs Brief on the Internet. Google it in. Where a multi-billionaire in Canada is saying, let's just give up on the dollar. Let's just create this new currency here. They'll call it the Euro, or the North American Amero. Call it what you will. But let's create a new currency and give up on what we already have. And ladies and gentlemen, there are people out there, people of great wealth, who want that, because they've positioned themselves. They've got their money out of the United States. They've got their money into things that will hold value when the whole system collapses. Jimmy Rogers, the very well-known multi-billionaire, you know, is investing in the yuan. He's investing in the yen. He's investing in Malaysian currencies. But I'll tell you one thing, and he's not investing in the dollar. And he's saying he's getting all of his money out of the dollar, and this is what Soros is doing. This is what Gates and what the others are doing. They want to get their money out of the dollar because they know the dollar is going to be destroyed. Well, let's go to Mike, who's giving us a call right now. Hi, Mike. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I have a question. Suppose, just what if everything is going exactly the way they want it to go?
No, it may very well be. I believe there are people who want to destroy our economy, who want to redistribute the wealth of this country. They laid the plan out in the Earth Charter. There's not one person in 10,000 in America who's even ever bothered to go up on the Internet and pull down the Earth Charter or call us and get a free copy of it. Yes, I believe that there are people who want to destroy the currency of this country and impoverish our people, and then, of course, bring America into this new world order. Anything else, Mike?
Well, can we wait till after the music?
Sure, go ahead. We'll be back here in just a moment. And remember our telephone number. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. Go ahead, Mike.
Well, they know very well from history what happens when they just keep those presses running and they keep, the way they like to say, expand the money supply.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Tieri. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Evil, and when you understand that, you can understand why they have financed communism since its inception for almost a century, and why they want to do the same thing to us here in America.
I wanted to make an additional. I wanted to say something else. I believe, since I I worked in the electronics business for a long, long time, about 20 years, and I worked for Hewlett Packard during the days of the boom days, you know. And I've come to the conclusion that, unfortunately, our corporate CEOs in America have sold this country down the river. They have sold this country down the river, and the board of directors of companies like Hewlett Packard have also involved in it. They sold this country down the river. They destroyed our manufacturing base in America completely. Now, everything is made in China. I was over at the store the other day, and I saw some Craftsman power tools. They were made in China. Everything is made in China. And there's no hope for us to get out of it unless we can snap out of it soon. Now, if we can get a new president in there, somebody that's decent, half decent, you know, maybe we have a chance.
Who are you going to be backing for the presidency?
Well, I'm not sure.
All right, fine.
I'm not sure.
Okay, fine. Well, Ray, anything else you'd like to say before
no,
we
No, that's all.
Okay, thanks very much.
Bye.
And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And somebody had called in anonymously and said he wanted to pay off his bills and house first. Is this a good idea? How would you respond to a Melody?
Well, I think it's very important to get out of debt, but you also have to look at, each individual has to look at what's best for them.
Sure.
So it would depend on, you know, I mean, I'm, you know, how much debt does he have on his house? Does he have a second on it? And, you know, what other is other debts and everything? But yes, anytime you can get yourself out of debt, yes, it is very important to do so. Work on those credit cards. Work on those automobiles. We need a house to live in. You know, I know a lot of my clients have sold their homes and are renting until the housing market gets completed. So you do have to look at your own situation and make decisions based on that. But yes, always try to get rid of your debt. It's very, very important. But you know, Dr. Stan, from the last caller, you can hear the frustration in people's voices. You know, they might have their own views and opinions and you know, and a lot of different information out there and views, but the frustration is there. They see what's happening, and we're on the path, and I don't think there is any way to turn around. And you talk about a new president, and there's only one that I know that would be able to at least address the problems that we have.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Stephanie, who's calling us from Spokane, Washington. Hi, Stephanie. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Well, I've been listening to the show, and me and my family are just starting out. I have 2 children, 1 and 2. I'm only 24, and I know what's going on. I've been listening to the show a lot lately, and I hear what's going on in the world. And I work in a retail store, and it's the hopelessness of the situation that's going on in our country is very frightening. And Melody was saying how she doesn't understand how people can know what's going on and not do anything about it. Well, I want to know, what does she suggest for somebody who feels hopeless already, looking out to the future of a country that's going down fast?
All right,
what does a family like us do?
All right, Melody, why don't you address that, because I think it's a very legitimate question.
Well, I certainly don't mean to imply that it is difficult, particularly when you're young, you have 2 children, and I know the jobs out there, the wages, they work you to death for the low wages, and again, we've talked about inflation and how much little that they pay and how much little your dollar spends. What you can do is, there's little things that you can do. Try to stay out of debt, try to pay off your bills, and you know what, I'm not very good at implying, but you know, spirituality, we need to be right, because there is where our real hope is at. And, you know, he will lead us, you know, through these difficult times. But we can do the little things by staying out of debt. That's real important. Try not to use your credit cards. I know we have to cut back.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, Stephanie was calling from Spokane and asking, what can you do? I mean, she sees what's going on. She's becoming aware of it. Stephanie, I've been at this game for almost 45 years. I got started in 1962. And I would tell you that this is a spiritual battle. There really are secret societies out there. There are people who worship Lucifer, and many of them are at the highest levels of our government. So the first thing you've got to do before you do anything else is make sure you've got a personal relationship with our Lord. Otherwise, you have absolutely no hope. Number two,
right,
you need to get involved. And you could actually begin telling other people about what's going on and get them listening to our program or similar programs.
Mm-hmm.
Get started to understand the magnificent form of government we have, which is the official government of the United States, the U.S. Constitution. There's only one political candidate who's even talking about the Constitution. You should begin studying who these people are and decide how you're going to vote. You may even have to re-register now so you'll be able to vote for somebody who supports the Constitution. And we've run out of time. If you don't get re-registered now, your vote isn't even going to count, because the real vote is going to be in the primary, not in November. If you get the choice of one or two members of the Council on Foreign Relations, forget it. It doesn't matter. We have a secret government. You've got to get the information. You've got to help us get this information out. They want people discouraged. They want them frightened to death. They want them doing nothing. And, well, of course, you can do a great deal. All you need to do is get educated yourself and then help us educate others. And if you love those children of yours, you must do everything you can to help us save America. But we cannot do this on our own. This is God's decision, and only if we are worthy of His intervention will He intervene and save this country. Anything else you'd like to say or ask?
No, I appreciate your time, though. Thank you.
God bless, and just keep right on
you
listening.
You too.
Oh,
thank you, Stephanie.
All right,
yeah,
let's go to Bill, who's calling from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
Well, good evening, sir. It's an honor and a pleasure, as usual. Got a lot of people over here praying, pulling for you.
Well, thank you.
You're, as usual, on the front line, even sick, even somewhat wounded iatrogenically, but still there in the battle.
Oh, no, I'm recovering. I'm doing very, very well. We're doing work at halftime this week. We'll be hopefully back to full-time next week.
Oh, the power
and
of prayer.
I can see God's hand in my recovery. I really can. So go right ahead. Did you have a question or comment?
Well, I just wanted to thank your guest and certainly yourself for this, inspiration. We only receive it here 1 hour a day, and that's a discouragement. But
hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Bill from Coeur d'Alene. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Bill from Coeur d'Alene was simply saying that he only gets us there 1 hour a day, but actually, if you have access to the Internet, you can listen 9 hours a day. You get tired of hearing me talk, but we do have that wonderful at RadioLiberty.com. Go there, go to the listen to the live programming, and you'll get the 4 live hours we do repeated twice and one additional hour. So we have a lot to be thankful for. I wish we could get 2 hours there, but, Bill, I have to use the money that we have, the funds we have, as wisely as I can. So, under the circumstances, I'm glad at least we have 1 hour of those of you in the Spokane, Coeur d'Alene area.
An excellent steward. I would just mention that here in flyover country, we're opposing these Nazis at every moment. I wanted to thank you so very much for having your guests. Certainly, Ms. Zisserbeek the other day, I make the tapes. I label them with all the websites as well as your own, and I ship them out to people that don't have the Internet. But excellent resource, and the archives are absolutely wonderful. I would mention I have a guest for you. Hopefully I gave your production contact to get that accomplished.
All right, we'll talk to him after the program.
But I wanted
to let you go.
I'm sorry?
Oh, anything else before we let you go?
I wanted to mention that we've had an interesting turn of events here while Santa is arriving shortly via ABC in front of Mr. Hagedorn's facility downtown, who owns the newspapers from here to Kansas City, we would have had a $20 million heist by the FBI and the IRS while you were ill. I wasn't sure whether you're aware of that.
Yes,
but
it's Liberty Dollars, I certainly am.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to more great programming. God bless you.
God bless you. Thanks so very much. And that was Bill calling from Coeur d'Alene. Let's go to Steve. Stephen from Pittsburgh. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And let's go to Stephen from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening on shortwave. And it's coming in great, did you say?
Oh, yes, you have a big signal here, Dr. Stan, sounding good in Pittsburgh on shortwave for sure.
Great. Well, okay. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, for concerning the devaluation of the dollar, I remember shortly before 9/11, in fact, I think it was a day before 9/11, I was reading in the paper that there was like $2.3 trillion missing from the Department of Defense. And the next day, so I knew they were going to fry Rumsfeld over this missing money. He said he had no idea what happened to it. And then the next day we had 9/11, and it made that whole financial thing just disappear.
Isn't that interesting? I remember that as well.
Well, these guys are getting kind of easy to read now, Dr. Stan. I think that's why they keep this Iraq thing boiling over there. Maybe when we pushed it as far as we could have, then Bush just starts World War III and everybody forgets about our money woes.
Could very well be. What are your thoughts on that, Melody?
It could. There's a lot of distractions out there. They employ a lot of different scenarios to distract, but I think when it comes to people's pocketbooks, I'm not sure. It's the wars that we're having right now that is truly propping up a lot of our economy. They could start another world war in order to keep it going. So,
well, I think it's very interesting that the general, Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, was in command in Iraq for 3 years. It was about, I think it was in October that he gave a press conference, in which he said, "We were never allowed to win the war. We were never allowed to try to win the war. The only best thing we could hope is not to be defeated. This is a nightmare. The military's been undercut at every turn." We'll be actually publishing the entire text in, about a month and a half or 2 months in our regular newsletter. But people have to understand that what we're seeing over in Iraq today is a gigantic diversion.
Yep.
George Bush signed agreements today so we can keep our troops there indefinitely. George Bush signed an agreement today so we can keep our troops in Iraq indefinitely. What do you mean indefinitely? I thought we went over there to rescue the people from the wicked of Saddam Hussein. Why do we want to keep our troops there indefinitely? Because that's always been the plan. And until people understand that this is a great diversion to keep our attention away from what's going on at home, that we never were there to bring peace and stability. We've always been there so we could keep our troops permanently stationed in the Middle East. And until people understand that, and if you doubt it, why first go to the paper today, or certainly go to the Project for the New American Century website. That's newamericancensory.org. Pull down the pamphlet on rebuilding America's defenses. I think it's page 14 of that. They will tell you the function is, the plan is. This was written in 2000, before anybody ever heard of Osama bin Laden. Written in 2000 saying we are going to keep our troops there permanently. Hey, Steve, thanks very much for calling.
Hey,
anything else you'd like to say?
You.
Anything else you want to say before we let you go? I guess we lost Steve. Well, Melody, before we go on, first of all, I'll give our telephone number one more time. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. But, Melody, I want you to get your telephone number. I want you to get your website. And I want you to tell our listeners what they will get if they go there or if they call you.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Stan. Our phone number here is 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And if you can visit our website, if you have online access, the address is discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. And yes, you have to spell out the A-N-D, discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. And if you'd like to email us, you can do that with any of your questions to discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. And you'll find on the website, we don't post prices of gold. We'll post the spot prices, but not on the coins. And you'll find a lot of reading material there. We also archive some of our radio programs that you can listen to. And so you can find that. We're also beginning an online catalog. We're just sort of experimenting with it. So we haven't done a lot to it, but we do have a couple coins there. And we'll be running specials on the online catalog. In which you can purchase through the Internet. So that's what you'll find. But we always ask our customers if you're interested in gold and silver or a way to position your finances to give us a call on the 800 number. And we look at each individual separately. We look at the product that is suitable for your needs, what your investment objectives are when you're looking to purchase gold and silver. And we recommend... You know, usually we recommend a 30 to 50% of your assets should be in gold and silver. It really should be a lot higher than that. But of that, 80% should be gold, 20% should be silver. And, of course, that can fluctuate a little bit. Again, back to the suitability of you, the customer. So we do things a little bit different. If you make multiple purchases, we have a plan. We set up a plan for you of what you want to have in your portfolio. We build foundations for you, and then you can diversify and go into different coins. But what we try to do is build that foundation for you, and then when you make multiple purchases, we add enhancing what you're already owning. We just don't sell you coins to sell you coins. You know, we don't sell you the coins that make the most profits, but you get diversified and you have a nice diversified portfolio. We don't advocate trading coins. There's a lot of scams. The higher the gold price goes, the more scams that are going to come out regarding gold and silver. I don't think there's a newspaper in this country anymore that if you don't open to, you know, one of the pages, that there's a full-page ad referencing some sort of a gold coin. And so there's a lot of bait and switches. There's a lot of loss leaders. There's a lot of just flat-out misinformation on a lot of these advertisements. You know, so you have to beware of a lot. You know, as I said, as the higher the gold prices go, the more the scams will come out. So you have to be very, very careful.
Amen to that. Well, we've got Joan calling from Coeur d'Alene. Hi, Joan. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. I just wondered. I know I have got gold and silver, but when you said that all the bigwigs, Gates and Soros and everybody has all these European monies, euros and yen. Is there any way we could do that?
Sure, there is. You would have to talk to somebody. Certainly, you would have to. There are people who are brokers who will do this for you. I'm always a little bit worried because I don't know whether I can trust them. They may be the fastest talking guys in the world.
Yeah.
If you'd like to talk to me, I could give you some suggestions off the air. I am not a financial consultant.
Okay.
I do not do any of these things myself.
Right.
But you could always call me at our 800 number and just say, this is Joan from Coeur d'Alene, and I would be glad to talk to you, at least share with you my thoughts on what you should do. I think you should be diversified. I think you should be in gold and silver and gold stocks and silver stocks, and you very well should start doing what people like Warren Buffett and the others are doing, and that is getting some money out of the country.
Oh, but that's, the average person, they have jets to fly them and everything.
I know, and most people aren't going to be able to do it. I can only tell
you,
if you had enough, this is what you'd do. Otherwise, it sounds like what you've done is quite wise.
Yeah, I do have the silver and gold stocks, but I don't know if the stock market's good to stay in or what.
Well, I think that gold and silver stocks probably will do fairly well. So I think that there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And be diversified, though. Don't put it all into one stock.
No.
No.
Because if it's the one that I bought, it'll probably go down. Just be in lots of them, okay?
Right. Thank you,
bye
Dr.
Bye. God
bless. God bless you.
And let's go to Jeannie calling. Hi. How's Jeannie?
Well, I'm just dandy tonight. I wanted to address Stephanie, the young mother, and also ask Melanie a question after that.
All right, fine.
We didn't address for the young babies that you always want a supply of food or medicines that they might need if there is an emergency.
Good thought. Very good thought.
And you have a great catalog for dehydrated foods and vitamins, and even like baby aspirins or any medicines that they might need. And that can be put in inventory in a small closet in the house. Also, you were talking about stock, and I'm a big believer of having it in hand physically like a junk silver. And you can buy that very reasonably right now, and as much as possible, they just put it through a machine, and it could be a few dollars, $100 or $1,000. But there's a lot of things Stephanie can do just to tide over a critical time when there might be a crisis. And I have a question for Melanie. Do you think, and I'm very concerned about silver and gold, I just was reading about how the IRS raided the Liberty Dollars in Evansville, Indiana. And was it Illinois? I forget. But the IRS was saying that the silver and the gold that they confiscated with Ron Paul picture on the silver dollars was not a legitimate money of the United States. And will they confiscate silver in the near future? Of course, we don't know, but I'm very concerned about that.
All right, Melody, what are your thoughts for Jeannie?
You always have the debate of confiscation and what will be confiscated and won't be confiscated. If you're diversified in your gold and silver, I mean, you surely can protect yourself against, you know, the guidelines of confiscation, what they consider, you know, that would be confiscatable. When you really look at the legal tender, I mean, that's also a debate as far as the Liberty Dollars.
I would comment one thing there, and that is the fact that if you buy the coins that are put out by the United States Mint,
right,
those are at least legal tender, at least theoretically, because they have a mount on them. They're printed by our own mint. Certainly there was a court case recently where Chris Appella was paying the employees in the U.S. Mint
in gold
and silver. And they tried to bring a case against him, and the IRS lost that case.
Oh, the IRS is very angry with Bobby in Nevada.
Right.
But there again, I think how they won that particular case is the employees and also the owner of the construction company, in good faith, said in the Constitution that gold and silver could be used as a legal tender of the United States of America. And so then the other question is, you brought it up, if it's minted by the United States Mint, is in our Constitution, it does say that gold and silver is our coin and it's a legal tender.
Right.
And so what they're doing is redefining where it's made and saying where you can buy it, which I feel is totally unconstitutional.
Well, most of what they do is unconstitutional. Anything else, Jeannie, before we let you go?
That's it.
God bless. Let's go to Mike calling from Coeur d'Alene. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I'm doing great. Thanks for having Melanie on.
I wanted to ask a question
about the Liberty Dollar real quick. I think it was the 1892 Coinage Act or 1792 Coinage Act that made it that the United States would only mint, and they put that under the weights and measurements. So do you know if that is true, that this 1892 Coinage Act is what made any use of the word coin a governmental oversight?
have any thoughts on that, Melody? I don't.
No, I don't. Not at this point in time, I don't. I know they, you can go again, the discussion, we use the term legal tender, and really it's just tender because, it's, all I do know is when you start messing with their money and you begin printing and using as a government, you'll probably get yourself in trouble.
But I think that's really so interesting is that we have two monetary systems in America. We have a Federal Reserve System, mm-hmm. and then we have this other money that is minted by the United States Mint that has a fixed value, let's say $50 or $25 or $100. And so we have a parallel monetary system, and I think most people have actually ignored that fact. And, of course, they're both legal in America. They will say, well, you've got to use Federal Reserve Bank notes, but what does it say you can't use this other, which was established by Congress? There's some exciting things, but we're out of time. So, Mike, anything else you want to ask before we let you go?
Just really quick about the electronic stocks on gold and silver. If we hit a hyperinflationary period, are we going to be able to keep our savings if we have stocks of gold and silver?
Well,
that's all I wanted
silver,
to know.
That's
your answer
if you
out there.
If you have money, you'll lose everything. Because, in fact, you'll want to read my latest article on gold and economic freedom. We'll be right back in just a moment. And I was just telling Mike, he should read our latest newsletter on gold and economic freedom. It is the essay, at least it's part of the essay, and we'll finish it up this month, that Alan Greenspan wrote in 1966, entitled Gold and Economic Freedom, pointing out that there is an organized effort to keep us from having any means of maintaining our savings and our wealth, and that is why the status fear gold. It's one of the most important essays ever written. You will be able to get it in the Radio Liberty newsletter. That will be the October newsletter, which hopefully will be out very, very shortly, at least part of it. Anything else you want to ask, Mike?
Well, I just think that we have to know Grisham's law, and that bad money drives away good money.
I think you're absolutely right, but also we have to have a personal relationship with the Lord because nothing else is going to get us through what lies ahead.
You're right.
Nothing else matters.
Anything else, Mike?
No, sir. Thank you.
God
both.
Bless. Thanks
Thank
so
you,
much.
Mike.
And this has been a fascinating program, Melody. You've got about a minute, almost 2 minutes to finish the program.
You know, people do talk about electronic trading, and we talk about paper stocks. And you know what, folks? Nothing carries less risk as holding gold and silver in your back pocket. You have it. You got it. You don't have to worry about anything else. So, again, it comes back to the suitability. It comes back to each individual and how your finances are and what your thoughts and what your investment objectives are, just like the currency trading and everything else. And I do believe if you think there can be a run on on the banks, there could also be a run in Wall Street, and will you get your money? Will there be money available to you? So you can give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. We've seen some exciting things going on in the gold market, in the coin market, and you should use any pullbacks in precious metals resulting from any type of short covering or profit taking, and you should treat it as a buying opportunity. We have premiums that are increasing. Even on bullion products, we have Gold Eagle premiums that are increasing $10 to $15. We have Silver Eagles, delivery delayed by a couple of days. We have the semi-numismatics. They're rising greater than what the bullion coins, so it's a very exciting time. So I guess it's a two-sided coin. On one hand, your gold and silver products are doing extremely well. And on the other hand, we have some serious problems that we have to face. So give me a call at 1-800-375-4188. You can visit our website at discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. That's discountgoldandsilvertrading.net.
Good night. God bless you. Thanks
Thank
so much,
you. God bless you, too, Dr. Stan.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly, if you would like to really understand what's going on, first of all, you need to get a copy of the Earth Charter. Then, of course, you need to hear my talk on the financial tsunami. And, of course, you'd also want to get the syllabus that goes with that. We put together a little pamphlet called What You Should Know About Money. And, of course, that's simply a compilation of 5 or 6 newsletters. But you need to have that information. You need, of course, to have the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, because the Federal Reserve Conspiracy is a conspiracy to impoverish the American people and enrich a small group of elitists. And then lastly, of course, the book, Fiat Money, Inflation in France. But what everybody who's talked about money and about the Federal Reserve and about the international bankers has missed are the powerful spiritual forces which energize this entire movement, because this movement has been around for centuries, moving the world towards the time in which we live today. We live in the most exciting time in the history of mankind. And really, if you stop and really think about what's happening, and realize, of course, that the motivation of the secret societies down through the centuries has always been to create a one-world government and a one-world religion under a one-world leader. And if you've never read the book written by the Satanist Manly P. Hall, a 33rd-degree Mason who, when he died, was referred to as probably Masonry's leading philosopher. His book, The Secret Destiny of America, will tell you that there's been a plan around for 3,000 years to bring about the world democracies and, of course, this world government. And that is the significance of the emblem on the back of the dollar bill, the pyramid, capped by the all-seeing eye, that was put there on the back of the Great Seal of the United States in 1792, as I remember. Under any circumstances, the book is available in the research division from Radio Liberty. It has to be bought separately. We do not offer this through our regular catalog because we don't want people to believe that we support this. You need to read, or pardon me, to hear my talk on the forbidden secret. That's the forbidden secret. And then, of course, my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. The award-winning DVDs, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, and Riddles in Stone. You need to get the DVD, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. Excellent. 3-hour, 4-hour, 10-hour version. There really are people who will acknowledge they've sold their soul to the devil to get ahead in the music industry. Well, they've done the same thing in industry today and in banking. And, of course, one of the new DVDs we're recommending, put out by Alex Jones, entitled Endgame, Alex Jones, Endgame, going into the Bilderberger Group, and you'll actually see the Bilderbergers in their big limousines staring out the window as their pictures are being taken. Alex has done an excellent job with Endgame. And then, of course, we have a 4-tape set called Satanic Crimes, and we have a book that goes with that, that goes into the satanic and sexual crimes of members of the Bilderbergers in Europe and the White March, when 300,000 Belgians, remember there's only a couple of million people in Belgium, 300,000 Belgians marched against the Bilderbergers and their pedophilia and their other sexual crimes, and not a word of that in the American media. Our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Give us a call. Go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. Get our material. Join the Radio Liberty family. Encourage others to listen. Help us to get the truth out while there's still time. And remember, we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men, the survival of Christian civilization. Please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. Because right now, of course, we want to get to our special guest for the time being. His name is Brian Flynn. He's written a wonderful book called Running Against the Wind. And, of course, his website is onetruthministries.com. That's onetruthministries.com. And Brian was a medium, a New Age medium, had actually acquired supernatural powers coming from the dark side. Was really having a great time in life, at least he thought he was for a time. And then, of course, I'm going to let him tell his story of his conversion and why he felt really obliged to write this book. Brian, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Well, thanks for the invitation. I appreciate to be with you and your listeners.
Why don't you sort of just tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and how it was that you got into the New Age and you actually became a medium.
Sure. I guess I'll begin when I was young, because that's when my father decided to leave the church. I was about 10 at the time. I was raised Catholic, but my father saw the changes in the Catholic Church that he didn't like. I think it was mostly out of the changes from Vatican II, but he had explained to me that he didn't like the modern church in terms of having folk masses and people that on the pulpit that weren't ordained. But I think deep down, I think there was another reason, is that my father really may not have had a very strong faith, and I think he had given us, the kids, the obligatory, well, let's take him to church for a while. And so he just announced that he was never going back, and he never did go back, ever. So at that point in my life, when I was young, I looked at Christianity as something that I had already looked into that was wrong. Obviously, my father rejected it, so I rejected it also. And what that really did was it opened the door to me to other religions, as I now put Christianity as off the table of choices. And I started dabbling first with tarot cards. I used to do tarot card readings when I was in high school. And I don't think I was really necessarily doing it because I thought I could predict the future, but I think it got a lot of attention. And of course, when you're a teenager, getting attention for anything was was probably considered good. But of course, there was those occasional Christians that were telling me that I was dabbling in some type of satanic activity and that I was engaged in something dangerous. But of course, nothing bad happened to me, so I really ignored them. I left New York, and I went into the Air Force, and then after I got out of the Air Force, I joined a rock band, and the rest of my time spent over those years was kind of the lifestyle of a musician, including all the negative effects. Did quite a few drugs and engaged in behavior that I'm certainly not proud of now, but at the time in my life, there were really no limitations to my behavior, so I could do anything I wanted. One of the things I did experience was when I did LSD, was that particular experience, I think, opened a doorway for me, and that I knew that there was another side to reality, that there was some type of other realm beyond what I could really feel with my five senses.
All right, you hold on. We'll be back in just a moment with Brian Flynn here, talking about the effect of LSD and the other reality. Well, Brian, pick up the story there. You were, of course, taking the LSD trips, and, of course, really this psychedelic experience really must be amazing. I never intend to re-experience it, but, the people who have had it, you do have this feeling of reaching into another realm.
Yeah, you really go into an altered state of consciousness. That's really what it is. And certainly I wouldn't ever recommend it because there's a lot of dangerous effects and you never know. You might be the one that experiences something very negative. But that's what it did. It did open a doorway to a different view. From there, I got involved in transcendental meditation. A woman I was dating at the time was involved in it, and her sister was a teacher. So I went through the course, and what you learn in TM is that you are given a mantra, which in Sanskrit means liberated from thought. I think that's a very revealing definition. And you repeat that word over and over and over again in your mind, and then you might have a thought here or there that may serve as a distraction. You let that thought go, you return to the mantra, and pretty soon you enter into the silence. In other words, your thoughts actually cease. And they believe that that's where, you'll receive this nirvana or this great feeling or, stress will melt away. But, I often say this to people, do you really think that the people in India that are practicing TM are doing it to get rid of stress in their life? No, it's a religious practice. It is one that they believe that you can connect with the universe or universal power and create some type of peace in your life.
Well, don't you really feel that maybe as you do this, you do connect with another power, but not necessarily the God of the universe?
Exactly. That is what really happens. But, of course, most people don't know that. But I didn't stay with TM for too long, maybe about a year or 2 years, and I just simply couldn't keep up with the demand of really doing it 20 minutes twice a day, each and every day. So I left TM, and then I met another woman that I eventually married. That she was into a lot of New Age things, but one of the things that she was involved in was she was going through a year-long course where at the end of the course you could learn how to perform psychic readings or to become a medium. And I wasn't so intrigued by that process or that outcome, but I did notice that the people that were in the class were saying that they had a better connection to the universe. They seemed to be living at what they called a higher spiritual level. So since I had very little spirituality in my life, this seemed like something very attractive to me. Since I just felt spiritually empty, and they seem to have something.
Well, you hold that thought, we'll be right back.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Brian certainly got into all sorts of meditation, and then he married a woman who was into a course, and at the end of that course, why, you could get to become a medium, and you could actually begin to channel things, and as he was in the course, all of these people in this course, we're taking these various studies and mind games and learning how to put yourself into an altered state of consciousness. And he felt that these people maybe had something he didn't have. And so he, of course, decides he's going to complete this course and learn to become a medium, to become a channeler. So pick up the story there, please.
Sure. So I went through the year-long course, and at the end of it, I could perform psychic readings. But one of the things that it bothered me when I was going through the course was at some point I thought to myself, I don't have any psychic ability of my own. How am I going to really do any type of reading? Well, what the instructor told us that we would meet and be introduced to our spirit guides.
And so you have a spirit guide then, and of course you have no idea who that spirit guide is. It's just, it's a being who's going to be there to help you.
Right, and there was actually several of them that I would use in different instances depending upon the person I was doing the reading for. So there were several, and I was told that these spirit guides had been with me forever, and they are there to help me. And in my mind, I looked at it as a good practice because whenever I did a reading for someone, they got a positive experience out of it. So I thought, well, if it's real, it's good, it therefore must be God. So why would I fear these spirit guides? Because they were doing such good things for the people I was doing readings for.
Well, I think it's so hard for the average individual to believe that there really are these spirit guides that are out there. And if you put yourself into the proper psychological condition, you can actually call them up. But aren't you really sort of conjuring them up?
Yeah, and again, I went into a meditative process to begin this, which was the similar results where you end up reaching the silence. But in this silence, these spirit guides can speak to you in your mind.
And that was where I got, so to speak, the ability. It wasn't an ability of my own. But in order to do it properly, I had to remove myself out of the way so my own opinions wouldn't ruin the reading, so to speak. But in so doing over time, I was really removing my will to where the spirit guides could have much more control. I didn't realize the danger of that until later. Now, here's the downfall, of course, is that here my wife and I are on the same spiritual plane, and you'd think things would be going great. Well, it's funny, my spirit guides never let me in on that I was going to lose my wife to divorce. I was going to lose my car, my house to bankruptcy. You know, my spirit guides never gave me any clue that that was coming my way. So here I was, probably at a very down point in my life, and fortunately I had a friend who was a Christian that had kept a good relationship with me, even though we disagreed on spiritual matters completely. She came to me and said, would I be willing to go back to church? And it wasn't going back to the church that made a difference for me, but it was meeting people for the first time that their life with Christ extended past Sunday morning. In other words, this is really an integral part of their life, you know, Monday through Sunday, and that I could sense that they really did have something that I did not have, and that was intriguing to me. But what turned the corner is I went to a seminar by a Dr. Don Byerly. He wrote a book called Surprise by Faith, and it was an apologetic presentation of the information that would that shored up the veracity of the Bible, its historical accuracy. And I was so blown away by the information that he presented. Now, this was over a three-week period, that at the end of it, I knew that this story of Jesus must be true. And in the back of that room, I made a commitment to Christ, and Christ forgave me. So, even though I had made that commitment, as I'm walking out of the parking lot, my familiar spirit guides started harping on me, saying, I'm not a Christian. I just said a bunch of words. Nothing really happened. You can't live a Christian life. And over the next couple of days, I engaged in behavior that wasn't what I usually engaged in. I wasn't much of a drinker, but I got drunk two nights in a row and had to call into work where I was just too hungover to get up. But here was my moment that changed my life forever. While I was laying there feeling really horrible, I asked myself this question. Why was I acting this way at this point? Why were my spirit guides so much against moving towards Christ? What was significant about Christ as opposed to any other religion I had looked into? And then it occurred to me, the veil was lifted. If Jesus Christ is Lord, then that, and they are in opposition to him, then that must mean my spirit guides are demonic. And at that point I got down on my hands and knees, and I really wept, asking God for forgiveness that I had been wrong my entire life, and Jesus truly was Lord.
Well, you know, it's one of the most amazing things, Brian, as you study this, because I've never been in contact with a spirit guide, but I've talked to many people who are, and as you study this, it becomes so obvious that these demonic beings fear the name of Jesus Christ. In fact, people who are possessed, you know, the exorcist will name the name of Jesus Christ, and these demonic beings will really go stark raving mad. I mean, they'll start throwing things, and the person who's possessed will have supernatural strength. And you hear this story over and over again. You realize there's another dimension out there that most people never encounter, at least not here in America. You see much more of this in other countries than here, although I think this movement is really growing, and certainly it's growing not only within the New Age, but it's even beginning to penetrate the church itself, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the other portion of my book, is that what really alarmed me was that the practices that I'd been engaged in were now coming into the church kind of wrapped up in Christian wrapping, so to speak. And it was really how I discovered this was I was sent a book to do a review of called A Time of Departing by Ray Youngen. And it was a book about a subject I'd never really heard about, but it was called Contemplative Prayer. And
he equated contemplative prayer to transcendental meditation, and I agreed. Everything he was saying was accurate, but where I had great doubts that this was a big movement that was in the church and it was going to be going all the churches. And I really didn't think that that was right. But as I started to see that it is a practice that is in many churches and has even grown exponentially in the 3 years since I first read his book. So this practice is transcendental meditation, but they have disguised it in such a way that a lot of people think that it is a Christian practice.
And I think this is really how the enemy works. Certainly they would not say to Christians, we're going to take you into a situation where you'll open up your mind to demons, but they would call it contemplative prayer. And it sounds so benign. After all, what's wrong with prayer? So could you explain to our listeners really what's wrong with this whole thing, which is increasingly being accepted in many churches, Christian evangelical fundamentalist churches across America? Like, we're always looking for the latest gimmick. We want to be on the front lines. And boy, if it's going to work, why, we want to use it. So what's wrong with it?
Pretty much. Well, let me make sure I completely explain what contemplative prayer is and what it's not. First, the sound of a contemplative. There's nothing wrong with contemplation of God's Word or meditating on God's Word. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. I do it all the time. I read a passage, I think about it, I think how it might apply to my life. I might be inspired by it, I might be convicted by it, but that's just simply thinking about it. But contemplative prayer is different. Now, the leading advocate of contemplative prayer is Richard Foster, and he's most famous for his book, Celebration of Discipline. But he describes contemplative prayer this way. He goes, at the outset, I need to give a word of warning, a little like a warning label on medicine bottles. Contemplative prayer is not for the novice, and I do not say this about any other form of prayer. Now, then he goes on to say this. I want to give a word of precaution. In the silent contemplation of God, we are entering deeply into the spiritual realm, and there is such a thing as a supernatural guidance that's not divine guidance. While the Bible does not give us a lot of information on the nature of the spiritual world, we do know there are various orders of spiritual beings, and some of them are definitely not in cooperation with God in His way. So for now, I want to encourage you to learn and practice prayers of protection. Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. This is a different form of prayer, and then he warns you that when you go into this form of prayer, you might experience demonic voices. That's what he's admitting. Now, the practice of contemplative prayer comes in a few different forms. Sometimes it's called centering prayer, breath prayer. But essentially, you take a word, it could be Abba or a phrase from the gospel, and you begin to repeat it over and over and over again in your mind. And then you might have a distracting thought, and if you do, don't worry, return back to the holy phrase. Now, there was an interesting study done by a Dr. Herbert Benson back in the 70s. He was looking into transcendental meditation. What he discovered, it wasn't the word that was the magical, so to speak, component, but the repetition. He gave a control group the word one and had them repeat it over and over again, and what he found was the same physiological and psychological occurrences that happened at TM happened in his control group. So the word doesn't protect you, even if it's a Christian word, it still brings you into an altered state of consciousness.
And that, of course, is the state of consciousness where you, because it's susceptible to a hypnosis, and of course, you become susceptible to being taken over by these demonic beings. Would that be a fair statement?
That is. But there's one more component. We'll talk about that in a break.
All right, fine. I think it's so vitally important, ladies and gentlemen, that you understand that when you begin getting into these mind games, you know, oh my goodness, there's so many books down at the stores now that they just tell you how to solve all your problems by playing these mind games. But believe me, many of these mind games are opening you up to truly demonic spirits that can change your life forever. We'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, Ray, you go ahead. Brian, you go ahead and pick the story up there.
Sure. Well, now, here's the next step, and this is the one that's really quite disturbing, is that what the whole purpose for you to get into this state is that these Christian believers, these people that support contemplative prayer, believe that then at this point, God will begin to speak to you in your mind. Now, there's nothing in the gospel, I want to be very careful about how I say this, that where God will speak into a person's mind by a method that we initiate. Certainly there are times, like in Acts 11:5, where Peter is put into a trance, but here's the interesting things about that. Number one, what was Peter doing? You happen to be praying, but was he asking to be put into a trance? Was he asking for some secret message to come from God at that moment? No. Secondly, the information that was given was extremely important for the body of Christ, which was the message that Gentiles could be saved. Jesus wasn't the Messiah only for the Jews. But what these people are doing, and most of the people that are practicing this, are looking for their own personal revelation. They're going into this silence and solitude, as they call it, to get guidance about really trivial matters. Now, it might be important to them as far as, well, should I take a job in Cincinnati or stay here in Minnesota? But that's a trivial matter. So they are really forcing God to reveal things that are not revealed.
But, of course, you can't force God to do anything.
Of course not. They're kind of like spoiled adolescents that are not satisfied with not knowing everything. Now, God has revealed, of course, in two ways, general revelation and specific revelation. General revelation is what we know about God that we can gather by our own senses, and specific revelation is what God has given us through His Word. The rest is secret information, and that is what really the contemplatives are looking for, is they are looking for secret information.
But, of course, that is what the Gnostics and what all the people, the Kabbalists, all of these people are looking for secret information.
Right. So that's the whole premise of contemplative prayer. In fact, I was doing one of my seminars, and afterward a gentleman came up to me, and he was a supporter of contemplative prayer, and he said, well, he goes, can I ask how long you've been a Christian? I said, well, I've been a Christian 13 years now. And he said, well, that's the reason you're having trouble discerning the voice of God, because I've been a Christian 25 years, and after a time, you can discern God's voice. And I said, okay, well, tell me then, how did you know it was God the first time you did it?
And what was his response?
He didn't have a response. He walked away because he could not say the response was, I don't know. In other words, you cannot possibly know the voice in your mind is of God or demonic or your own self-talk. But from a biblical perspective, it will not be God. God has already spoken to us through His Word. He is not going to tell you trivial matters in your mind. But these people believe that the voice in their head is of God giving them guidance. An audible voice in their mind is what they're perceiving.
And they really do hear a voice. That's the problem. But it, of course, where is it coming from? We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Brian's point is well made, and that is that the whole idea of contemplative prayer is that you take a word and you repeat it over and over and over again until you come into this period of almost silence with no thought at all, and your mind is open for impulses or for messages or for words that come from another dimension. And of course, this is exactly what the people in TM, Transcendental Meditation, do. So it's exactly the same technique, only these people call it Christian, and yet they're opening up their mind. And they really will sometimes hear a voice or get direction, but the question is, where does it come from? And as, of course, Brian is simply pointing out, many of the people who are getting these messages think they're coming from God. But, of course, God doesn't necessarily go by our timetable. He will contact us when he wants to, not when we want him to. And when you begin to try to call up the spirit, as it were, are you ever sure that you're getting the spirit of God and not from the dark side? Would that be a fair analysis?
Yeah, pretty much. Essentially what we're engaged in, I know a lot of Christians blanch when I say that, but they're engaged in divination.
Right.
In other words, they are trying to divine secret information that has not been revealed by God. So really, contemplative prayer is divination. What I should do at this point for your listeners is point out where this started from in the church. A lot of people will say to you, well, we're going to learn tonight an ancient practice or an early church practice. But this really started in the monastic period, so it's not early church. I mean, the monastic period goes from about 500 A.D. through the 1200s, even through the time of the Reformation. So it's not something early. It's actually 500 years later. Where I believe this started from is that I believe it was an Eastern influence because the monasteries had contacts with some Eastern religions. And where it began was there was a practice called Lectio Divina, which means sacred reading, in which you would take a page of Scripture and you would read it over and over and over and over again. And then once you would read that over and over again, there might be a word or a phrase that might jump out at you. It would be then that phrase that you would say over and over again, or perhaps say it louder and then more softly and more softly until you're internalizing that phrase over and over and over again. That is where I believe the practice began. Now, maybe it began because they were trying to memorize a page of Scripture, but from anything I've read since then, what they're really doing is they believe that this practice isn't for knowledge, but it is to gain an experience from this practice. So we've gone from using the gospel as a source of knowledge to a source of getting an experience and then receiving some type of outside knowledge from the practice. See, that's really the difference, is between looking to the gospel for knowledge and looking for the gospel to gain an experience. They've simply taken the gospel and turned it into a mystical device for divination.
And I think that's really what's really so significant, is that there have always been people thinking there were secret codes in the Bible, that we could just find those, then we could really find God, rather than take the simple gospel, and the simple gospel message as it's written. They're always trying to go beyond that. Would that be a fair statement?
Yeah, pretty much. And that seems to be the driving force, is that, and I really believe that this is somewhat of a failure of faith, in that we should have an assurance in that Jesus is already there. A lot of people will claim, well, I want to get closer to God. That's how they actually sell this. They come into a church that the word isn't being taught, which is unfortunately common, and they don't feel close to the Lord. They ask this question, is your walk with the Lord rather thin these days? You're not spending enough time in prayer? Well, I've got the trick for you. And then they teach them Lectio Divina. If I could, I'd like to give a quote that was in Richard Foster's book by a 16th century mystic named Madame Guyon. Now, this is her description of reading Scripture. Make use of Scripture to quiet your mind. First, read a passage of Scripture. Once you sense the Lord's presence, the content of what you read is no longer important. The Scripture has served its purpose. It has quieted your mind. It has brought you to Him. You should always remember that you're not there to gain an understanding of what you read. Rather, you're reading to turn your mind from the outward things to the deep parts of your being. You're not there to learn or to read, but you're there to experience the presence of your Lord.
And so really we're looking for an experience to substitute for the knowledge of the salvation message of the gospel. We're looking
exactly
for experience.
Right.
And this really is a very, very dangerous thing. But the average Christian searching for something, and if nobody's there to guide him, he doesn't understand TM, he doesn't understand the demonic world, he doesn't understand the other dimension, and we're told in the latter day there's going to be a great falling away. I fear that it's right here at this time. We'll be back in just a moment with Brian Flynn, Running Against the Wind. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, and we're told in 2 Thessalonians that before the man of sin is revealed, there will be a great, great falling away. And as I see what's going on in the world today, and I talk to people like Brian and others, and, you know, we've actually done some interviews with Ray Youngen, and we'll be having him back again for all of our various audiences. And I think people, you know, who've studied this really recognize the fact that there is, within the Christian church today, a great falling away from the faith. So pick up the story there, Brian.
Sure. What this demonstrates to me is a failure of faith. I think what causes this to happen is if your church is not really teaching the word each week, then you're not being fed. If you're not being fed, you do feel like you don't really have a great understanding of Scripture and what Christ has done. You lack an assurance. You know, Christ, we already have access to the throne through Him because of His finished work on the cross. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. We can draw no closer to than that. But that is a great closeness we have. Now, but what they're really talking about is a feeling of closeness. See, the problem is you're not going to get a real legitimate feeling of closeness from a practice borrowed from Hindus. What this practice does is it brings about an illusion that your relationship with God has somehow improved. It has not. Because the true things that bring one closer to the Lord is first by reading His Word and expanding your knowledge of His Word. The means of grace are already shared with us in the Gospel. Praying, knowing His Word, fellowship, those are the means of grace that will bring legitimate assurance to you. But this practice retards your growth because you think your relationship with the Lord is growing when it is really not. I had a woman call in on a talk show, and she said that she called me the Grinch who stole contemplative. I mean, I knew what she meant in that I had ruined her day because I had taken away her proof that she had a strong relationship with God when she really did not. Her faith is really not growing.
And I think that this is all simply a counterfeit approach, but I also think that it's a very dangerous approach, don't you? Because don't you think you're laying yourself open to demonic possession?
Correct. You're going to be misled. I mean, when you're listening, even if, let's take for example, let's say you're not doing what you perceive to be any type of practice, that you're just simply sitting there trying to be silent.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Brian Flynn, and we're talking, really talking about contemplative prayer. And of course, Brian has been accused of being the Grinch who stole contemplative prayers. He talks about it, and a lot of people who've gotten into this are offended because they get this wonderful feeling, this feeling of closeness to something as they go into this state of almost like nirvana, a state of nothingness, and then, well, then, do you get some sort of a physical feeling, or what actually happens? Or do you actually hear a voice?
They actually do hear a voice. I mean, that's the part of it. And to them, it's again, it goes back to being a failure of faith, because we are to believe in a God that cannot be seen, and they want to see it. So we're in somewhat of a postmodern generation that doesn't believe in the objective truth anymore, so the objective Word of God doesn't seem to be sufficient for many. So they're looking for an experience that proves that what they have is really there. And, you know, experiences like that can be deceiving. I want to make a point this way. There's a new DVD out called Be Still and Know That I'm God. It's put out by 20th Century Fox. You can find it in Walmart, Target. It is simply everywhere. And some of the premises of the DVD sound just like much the sales pitch that I was explaining earlier. You know, we live in a busy, chaotic world. You need to slow down. Well, that's true. We do. And certainly the DVD says we should spend more time in the Word. That's true also. That we should spend more time in quiet. That's true also. But then they switched the meaning and bring it to a state where they believe that we should spend more time silencing our thoughts. Now, Beth Schreier, she's an author of He Speaks to Me, Preparing to Hear the Voice of God. She says, most of my prayer time is filled up with what I'm saying to him as opposed to just being quiet, actually giving him an opportunity to speak to me. It never occurred to me that I needed to consciously go into his presence with my mouth closed, giving him an opportunity to get a word in edgewise. So even for a moment, if she's not doing any type of practice, she still believes that if she just sits there quiet enough, that God is going to speak to her. That is not going to happen. It could be her own self-talk, or demonic at the worst, but to believe that God is going to speak to you by a practice that you initiate, they are being deceived. If I can, I'd like to go through a statement by Beth Moore. Now, she's very well thought of, but she's a supporter of contemplative prayer, and she makes a statement using poor biblical doctrine or knowledge of the gospel. She takes the premise in Exodus 33, 7 through 11. This is where Moses would go out to the tent, where Moses would speak to God. But what she is suggesting to the audience, that as Moses would go out to the tent, a lot of the others would stand at the entrance of their tents and watch Moses go out there. And she'd say, you know what, that's just typical of a lot of people today. They watch someone else's relationship with God, not knowing that they can have the same relationship, that they can have that, go into that tent of meeting and have that intimacy with God. Now, she's making a big biblical error there, because only Moses was allowed to be the direct mediator between the people and God. Only one mediator. That was Moses. Now, interestingly, Miriam and Aaron challenged Moses' authority and challenged God that is Moses the only one? In Numbers 12, 10 through 20, they talk about this. And when God brought Miriam close to the tent, and the pillar of cloud came down on Miriam, and she was made leprous. In other words, there's a stern warning. Moses is the only mediator at this point, no one else. So Beth Moore is suggesting in the Old Testament that she can go into this tent of meeting. She says, I want to be in the tent of meeting. I want to be in the place where that cloudy pillar of God's glory falls. If I sit back long enough, I believe that the God of all creation might just speak to me. That's a complete error. Now let's go to the New Testament on the Mount of Transfiguration, where John, Joseph, and Peter, you know, God showed them who Jesus was, that he was the Son of God. And Peter, being nervous, makes a mistake in saying, you know what? Of course, Moses and Elijah appeared, and he said, you know what? Let's build tabernacles for Moses, Elijah, and you, Jesus. Well, tabernacles were tents of meeting. And guess what? The cloud comes down again, and God says, this is my Son. Listen to him. In other words, do not make a tent of meeting. You go to my Son. In other words, Jesus Christ is our mediator. We do not have a direct conversation with God. We do not build tents of meetings any longer. We have Christ, and how Christ speaks to us is through his word, not through a direct conversation. But this is what Beth Moore advocates in the Be Still DVD, is that we can go into tent of meeting. That is a serious biblical error.
And, of course, there are many people who are mediums who actually channel these ideas from the dark side. They may not know they're from the dark side. Many authors will actually channel the entire books that they read, and they don't know where these ideas come from. But, of course, you have to be very dangerous, very, very concerned. Now, sometimes I think that God can speak to people, but it's when he wants to speak, not necessarily when we want him to speak. Would that be a fair statement?
That's correct. And for the medium, many mediums, and I will tell you probably all of them, that they believe that they're actually talking to a dead person. They are not. They are talking to demons with knowledge of that dead person. Because there is an unfathomable gulf between life and death. And the reason that is because God has forbidden it. You know, in Luke 16, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, where the rich man is begging Abraham to tell his brothers that not to live the life he has, that so that they don't end up in hell. And, of course, the response is, you know what, those people have Moses and the prophets. In other words, they have the word already. A person that would be brought back to the dead isn't going to have any more credibility. In other words, I have given you all the information you are going to get. You are not going to get any other. But, of course, demons posing as the dead person undermines the authority of Scripture. Because if you went to a medium and said that you had a great talk with your dead father, and you said that to your pastor, he might say, well, that's forbidden. That's divination. You shouldn't be involved. And guess what you might say? Well, wait a minute. I had an experience. It was real. It was good. Therefore, it must be God. And you know what? Maybe my pastor doesn't know what he's talking about. Maybe that Bible isn't accurate. So your faith has been undermined. Or if you don't have a faith, the chance of you ever pursuing the truth for Christ has been greatly diminished. That's why demons will do good things by occasionally giving some information to people that will give them insight. Now, they don't know the future, but they do know some things that are beyond what you could know. And then you're impressed or surprised that these mediums could get something accurate, and then you're hooked. You're now dependent upon that medium for guiding your future rather than seeking the Lord. That's the trick.
And, of course, this is the truth of the matter is there is another dimension, and some people are actually accessing it. And Christians should never try to access it by these tricks that were used by monks and have been used by, you know, by mystics for a long period of time. I mean, going back to the ages, but mystics have always wanted to experience God. And we don't necessarily experience God. I mean, we can read his word, we can, you know, pray to him, but we're not going to necessarily experience him. I mean, isn't it really this desire for a personal, physical experience that motivates so many people?
Yeah, I equate this to, it's really the first sin. We want to eat from that tree of knowledge. That's still the sinful desire within us. You know, as Christians, we are saved from sin, but it doesn't mean that we still won't fall into sinful behavior. And really what we want is we want some other proof. We want a direct experience. We want direct knowledge. And so we're making the same mistake as Eve, is that we want to be like God, knowing those things. And those things are forbidden. Now, here's another topic about where contemplative leads. When I first wrote the book, the first edition came out, and as it was coming out, I discovered that there was really a missing piece to my book. And where does contemplative spirituality lead us? I think I refuted it as a practice. But where it leads is most of the contemplatives believe that this practice will bring together religions as one. Throughout most of the reading the authors of contemplative spirituality, they seem to have a great affection for Eastern religions. And the reason why is the practice of TM and contemplative are amazingly similar. In fact, they are the same. Thomas Merton, who really was instrumental in bringing contemplative back to the forefront in the church, he had many contacts with Asian religions or Eastern religions, and he was the one that noticed that our practices are much like yours. Even the Sufis of Islam, he wrote to a Sufi master and said, you know, your practice is much like my practice. You call it fana. And fana was the act of bringing divine oneness. But he saw the practices as similar, and instead of being alarmed that he was involved in an Eastern mystical practice, he thought that maybe we're all joined together as one because we're all contacting the same God, and you know what? Maybe we're fighting over nothing. So this is what they believe will bring us all together as one. Now here's an amazing statement by Wayne Teasdale. He says, all these religions, traditions, Buddhism, Hinduism, and Christianity, emerge out of mystical experience, and mystical experience means direct knowledge of a relationship with a divine God or boundless consciousness. One can almost say that the real religion of humankind isn't religion at all, but rather it is a mystical spirituality. So they are saying that we can come together as one. Thomas Keating, who is a contemporary of Thomas Merton, I went to actually hear him speak, and he said that contemplative prayer could achieve a unity of knowledge, oneness with God, and oneness of all man.
Well, see, now that is, of course, not true at all. We are not all one. I mean, there are those of us who are Christians, and there are the others, but, you know, if we are all one, then why should we try to bring anybody into Christianity if we're not the true religion?
Well, of course. I mean, what's the point of being a Christian if we can all access the same God through a shared mystical experience? Now, here's another supporter, Tony Campolo, in his book, Speaking My Mind. He's a contemplative. He says, mysticism provides some hope for common ground between Christianity and Islam. Both religions have within their histories examples of a static union with God, which seems at odds with their own spirituality traditions, but have much in common with each other. He then goes on to say, could they, the Islamic Sufis, have encountered the same God as we do in our Christian mysticism? And his answer is yes. Well, he might be right. It's the same entity, but it's certainly not the God of the Bible.
And I think that's what's so important. There is a supernatural being you can access, but you do that at the risk of eternal damnation.
So that's the problem with this as a movement. And this is their goal. They really want to believe all these people together, because then we can have world peace. Even the Maharishi believes that when we're all contemplating together, we're all doing transcendental meditation, they have their own studies that when they come in the study and they collectively do meditation, that the crime rate goes down. Well, this is the same premise that Father Thomas Keating was espousing when I came and heard him speak here in the Twin Cities. And he was speaking in a Lutheran church. It was the most blasphemous thing I'd ever heard. I won't go into everything he said. But his premise was that this is a practice that can be done by anyone, and you will have a unity of spirit, and then eventually we will promote and have world peace through this practice, not only because it gives you inward peace, but outward peace also. The same premise as the Maharishi was espousing. But we'll come together as one when we discover that we're all meditating on the same God. That's their belief.
Well, that is a little bit scary. My telephone number, if anybody would like to call in, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And would you have a web page you'd like to get out?
Sure. If they have a question, they can go to my website at www.onetruthministries.com.
Okay, and we will be carrying the book. Actually, we got a supply of the men just today, and of course, we'll be getting Ray Young's book in as well. We're going to carry both of them because we think this is such an important message. And let's go to Mike calling from Santa Cruz. And Mike, of course, came out of the New Age as well. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Yep, I had many experiences just like your guest was talking about. And with contemplative prayer and what he was just saying about all the people are going to be as one, that's what the big effort is. Well, you know, in Genesis 11, God came down and looked and see what the people were doing, and he said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do now. Nothing they propose to do will be withheld from them. God, we could believe that God, yeah, he likes unity, and ideally he would like us to be all one. But in our fallen state, he can't let us do that because he knows what we'll do. We'll mess up worse and worse and worse the more one and one and one we get. But I do believe that he's going to allow everything that Nimrod was trying to do, and God stopped it then, but at the end of the age, he's going to let it go. He's going to let it happen.
Well, Justin, Brian, do you have any thoughts on what Mike was saying?
Mike is right on track with that. A lot of people ask me, why do you think this is happening in the church? And I really believe that it's being allowed to happen by God, because I think he's finding out who are his remnant, who is willing to truly follow him, even though there's these other movements in the church that are drawing them away. And I think this is really God allowing this. You know, it's interesting that he brought up those particular verses, is because I always equate contemplative prayer as building a Tower of Babel in your mind. You're trying to build your way to a direct contact with God, but then the outward is that they're trying to build a Tower of Babel together collectively through the same practice. rather disturbing.
You have anything else, Mike?
Yeah, well, right there in that same vein, that Tower of Babel that he's describing, I think, is right on. And in the course of this, what they're doing is people are setting themselves up as God while they supposedly are seeking God.
Amen to that. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Thanks so much, and let's go to Justin calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Justin.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine. Did you have a question for our guest?
Yeah. I was just driving home from work here and listening to your show. I'm actually shocked that you guys can be so far out of the loop and believe that there's an invisible man in the sky.
I see. In other words, you doubt there's a God?
What's that?
You deny there's a God, then?
Well, there's no good evidence for us to believe there is a God.
All right. Well, you hang on here for just a minute, and we'll... we'll let Brian reply to you. Just a moment. Hang on there, will you? All right. Brian, Justin's calling in from Santa Cruz, and Justin feels that, people are pretty far out who believes that there is a God. He has certainly, I would assume from what he said, that he is not a believer. He doesn't even not only reject Christianity, but directs the idea of a deity. How would you respond to him?
Well, I understand his point of view, and if you take the Christian view, or at least ones that believe in God, versus a person who is an atheist, in a sense, if there was a debate between the two of us, we are both attempting to convince the other of a really ridiculous idea. We are espousing as Christians that there is a God who created the earth, where on the other side, the atheists have to defend Darwinism. They are proposing the most ridiculous idea that something came out of nothing, violating one of the rules of science, that a mud puddle was struck by some lightning, and life just appeared out of it through a slow process. That is a ridiculous idea, and I understand he looks at our idea as ridiculous, but to me, it certainly makes much more sense that there was an intelligence that created the earth. To me, that it happened just by chance, all this intelligence, all the mechanisms that go into the simple human cell are so incredibly complex. To believe that it happened by chance with no direction, I find that, for somebody to believe that, boy, you really have a blind faith.
Okay, well, let's Justin, I hope you'll continue listening, Justin, whether you agree or not. But do you have a comment? Oh, we're going to have to let you go. But do you have one parting comment?
Yeah, you mentioned that something can't come from nothing. And so if nothing made life, or if life came from nothing, then that would also mean that God couldn't come from nothing.
No, the thing is that God created the heaven and the earth, and God created life. That is the Christian belief.
That's the story, but
that is the belief.
You're trying to establish
your story that came out of nothing.
Please let him go ahead. Go ahead, Justin.
Oh, okay. The point was that your guest said that something can't come from nothing, and I'm just applying that same concept, that same premise to the idea that God can come from nothing. So if we're going to apply scientific principles to prove that there's a deity or suggest that there is one, you can't just turn off that scientific thinking just because you want there to be a God.
All right, fine, Justin. Well, thank you so very much. I hope that you'll continue listening to me.
Yeah, I'd like to hear his comments.
All right, we're out of time, but God bless. Thanks so much for calling, and just hang on there, will you? In other words, just keep on listening. Bye-bye. We're out of time, and we're not going to get a chance to get to Roger. Well, Brian, I want to thank you so very much for being with us. It's a real pleasure.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to speak to your audience, and I would just say to that person who called earlier, it's really, we believe in a divine God that has existed before anything was created. So he didn't come out of nothing. He has been in existence before the world began, before the universe was created. I believe there's an intelligence, not happenstance, that created Earth and all living things.
Amen to that. God bless you, and I hope we can get you back on our other programs.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. And, of course, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind our audience that Radio Divinity is primarily listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us. And if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 464-8295. And of course, if you'd like to understand really what's happening in the world, I think that this is an excellent book. It's Running Against the Wind by Brian Flynn, and we're going to be carrying that book. And you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. These demonic forces have infiltrated the church. I mean, after all, what better place to work to destroy the Word of God and to destroy the faith of believers than within the church itself and teaching Christians how to open themselves to demonic beings? If you doubt that there truly is a supernatural realm, I suggest our 4-tape set on the supernatural, my interviews with Johanna Michelson, who was a medium and involved in psychic surgery, truly supernatural surgery when she was living in Mexico. Her book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, is a classic. We carry that as well. In fact, if you go to our webpage at radioliberty.com, you'll find all sorts of fascinating material there on Aleister Crowley, who was a Satanist. Of course, all of the major rock bands of 20 and 30 years ago paid homage to Aleister Crowley, and of course we have the 4-tape set on Aleister Crowley. We have the DVDs or videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll, and these of course are testimonials from many people within the music industry who've actually sold themselves to Satan. And for Justin, who is calling in, you know, really one of the things that convinced me that the story of Christianity was true was realizing the degree of evil that exists in the world, and the people who worship Satan really do believe in the God of the Bible. They just hate him, and they, of course, gone to the other side. We're involved in the spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization, and, of course, our schools are doing everything they can to destroy the faith of our children, to have them ridicule, you know, these ideas of the Bible. And I can certainly sympathize with them, because at one time they had destroyed my faith in school as well. And it wasn't until I'd been out of college for some years and graduated with all the honors and all the knowledge and a minor in history and a degree in medicine that I really began to evaluate what was really important in life and return to the faith that I'd been raised in, realizing, of course, that those simple stories were really true. In any event, we hope many of you out there will encourage others to listen to our programs, to go to our website at radioliberty.com, where you can actually listen to our programs 5 hours a day on the Internet, American Freedom Network, Genesis Network, Radio Liberty Network, and then, of course, the Republic Network, and, of course, 9 hours a day on the satellite. Of course, you get pretty tired of hearing the same programs over and over again, but we have a unique opportunity to reach people not only here in America, but all across the world. Just got an email today from somebody in France, never heard from before, letting us know that they're listening. We know they're in Scandinavia and Australia and New Zealand. And through the miracle of shortwave and Internet, we can reach the whole world with an understanding of the spiritual battle that's being fought out now for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. Our telephone number again, 1-800-544-8927. Our website, radioliberty.com. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.